the Interesting Conversations with Interesting People podcast series with author Nigel Beckles.
Welcome to the podcast.
Please like the podcast and subscribe to this channel. Thank you. The very best way to promote your podcasts. Podpage makes it easy to create a podcast website with just a few clicks. Every page is optimized to be found on Google and it stays up to date forever. For more information, visit podpage.com, the future of podcast promotion.
Have you experienced several failed relationships or been through a divorce? How can you avoid making the same mistakes again? How to avoid making the big relationship mistakes is out now.
Hi, my name is Nigel Beckles. My book is packed with practical and common sense strategies that you can use to make better relationship choices.
Now you can discover the dangerous myths about love. If your relationship expectations are realistic, why you could be falling in love for all the wrong reasons.
How to avoid making the big relationship mistakes. It's a book that could change your life.
Available from amazon.co.uk. Kindle version also available.
Author Queen P, when the mood is right, a poetry journey, mood swings, and when the mood is right, a rebirth. Books available on Amazon and all good bookstores.
Hi, I'm Queen P, author of When the Mood is Right, a poetry journey, and mood swings. Please join me by tuning into my poetry podcast, The Royal Affair, on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, and all other similar platforms. You can also listen to the podcast on the Helium Radio Network on Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
You have entered into the royal affair.
Get ready for takeoff.
Welcome back to my Interesting Conversations with Interesting People podcast series. My guest for this episode is addiction recovery advocate Al Richards. Hi, Al. Welcome to my podcast series. How are you?
I am well, Nigel. How are you today, my friend?
I'm very well, thank you. So, Al, where do you live at the moment?
I live in a town which is about 7-8 miles south of Salt Lake City, Utah. It's called Sandy.
Okay, and what's it like there?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. Well, it used to be like a lot of orchards and things like that when I was growing up, but our city has grown so much since the 2002 Winter Olympics. It's packed. It is really busy around here. I've got a lot of businesses around. We've got a high school, probably about a half a mile just up the street. It's a beautiful place.
Well, Al, I understand you help people with addictions. Why did you decide to become involved with that particular field of work?
Wow, that's a great question. I battled with my own addiction back in the early 2000s, from about 2002 up till about 2009. You know, I had every Friday and Saturday night cocaine and alcohol use. And when I got married in 2009, actually the wife that I'm with, I dated her for 3 years and I was using cocaine throughout our whole time dating and she didn't even know. That's how well I hit it. When we got married in 2009, in May, I lost my job a month and a half later and I was at my job for 4 years. And I lost my job because of my cocaine use. I got popped with the UA, hadn't been drug tested in about 15 years. And of course, I failed it. And I had to put my tail between my legs and tell my wife what happened, which put her in complete shock, right? Because she had no clue I was doing this. And then in August of 2009, she lost her dad to a heroin overdose. And that basically was the tipping point and the start of her addiction. She fell into alcoholism. So as I was coming out of my addiction, she was going into hers. And man, I tell you what, it was a rough road. I became addicted to her addiction. And it got so bad in 2019, I was actually on my way home from an event to get my gun and go up in the mountains. And I was going to take my life because I couldn't handle come home to what I came today. Anyway, to shorten up the story, as my wife started getting sober, everything I tried, Nigel, to help her didn't work. I didn't know anything about addiction. I didn't even look at myself as an addict, right? Because I kept a job. I worked. I never missed a day of work because of my addiction. None of that. So I didn't look at myself as an addict. My wife, on the other hand, was totally different. She couldn't keep a job. She was drunk all the time, got her first DUI, lost her license, was driving under the influence and without a license a number of times, in and out of jail. And everything I did wouldn't help.
So when did you realize your wife had an addiction problem?
In 2010, we lost our home. She was starting to drink a little bit more before then. I started noticing her, instead of mixing a drink, she started drinking it right out of the bottle. And that's when I started realizing things were changing. And she didn't really go very deep into the alcoholism, probably till about 2013, 2012. Then she went really deep into it. And then she got out of it for about 13 months. And when she took a sip of a drink after that 13 months, holy cow, the devil got a hold of that woman and put his claws in her and didn't let go. She just totally went off the deep end. She was drunk 24/7, couldn't keep a job. Most of the time, you know, she had her face covered in blood and bruises, and her body was covered because, you know, she was always falling down. She couldn't stand up, and it got messy.
How did your wife recover from her addiction?
Lots of years of practice. Yeah. She went to 8 different rehabs, in and out of jail a number of times. The last time she went to jail, Nigel, she said that God visited her. And I had heard this before, so I really just took it like a grain of salt. And she said God told her that if she didn't stop, she'd be dead in a short period of time. First time she said that message was ever delivered. As soon as she got out of jail, what did she do? She started drinking. And the last time I saw her drunk and I finally got her up to a detox center, I saw death. I looked in her eyes. She has beautiful hazel eyes, and all I saw was black. And I really thought I was going to lose her. And when she got out of detox and was put into a detox home that we have here, the VA, she really started doing some heavy thinking, and she realized she was close to death. And she lost a lot of her mobility. We thought she ended up with wet brain. She couldn't talk. You couldn't understand anything she said. She could barely walk. She's 10 years younger than me, and she was shuffling her feet like someone that's in their 90s that we're doing, you know. And my uncle, I asked my uncle to do a prayer for her, and he did. And it took about 2 weeks, and she finally started coming around, and she says, I'm done, babe. I'm done. This is it. I'm not touching it again.
So why do you believe some people become addicted?
Trauma, life. You know, a gentleman that I interviewed today from back east, both his parents were addicts. His sisters were addicts. One of his sisters, anyway. He grew up around it. So he just thought, you know, he had his first taste of alcohol at age 6. Now, here in the United States, that's like a no-no. You know, you just don't do that. And some of the guests, the majority of the guests, Nigel, that I've interviewed have been sexually assaulted as young kids, boys and girls, right? Doesn't matter the sex. They've been beaten. They've been bullied. And it seems like about the time they hit puberty is when things start changing, and they figure out that there's this stuff that can help numb what they're feeling. And that's when it starts.
So in regards to your work and endeavors, have you had a lot of success getting people away from being addicted?
You know, I don't want to really say that I've had the success. And the reason being is because it's their journey. It's their path. You know, I tried everything I could for 7 years to help my wife, and nothing worked. I tried the same things over and over with the same results. She still kept drinking. However, doing what I'm doing right now, I have actually become a person that people call now, especially those that have loved ones that are battling addiction. They don't know which direction to go. I have now built relationships with some really, really good places and good people. And me not being certified or anything like that, I have to tread very lightly because I don't want it to come back on me and say, well, Al said so-and-so, right? However, I now have the tools in my pouch that I can say, you know what? I know someone who can help you, and they're licensed and they're professionals, and I can send them that direction. And the people who are in long-term recovery or coming out of recovery, they've all admit it, you know, it happened because of a higher power, whether they believe it's God or some other kind of higher power. And also, they're making the right choices now.
Why did you decide to start your podcast?
Well, to cut a long story short, after watching my wife go through what she went through with her addiction and not understanding it, I wanted to understand more about addiction. And that's actually what got me into it. Right. I started doing some public speaking, and then kind of like yourself, I heard someone talk about a podcast. I'd never watched a podcast and decided to start one up. And I lucked out because I met a gentleman who owned a radio station And I met him and I gave him my idea and he thought it was a great idea. And it just all kind of started. And I have fallen into the addiction world because of all the people that I've interviewed in the addiction, long-term addiction, and those on the other side of addiction, plus those who deal with trauma, mental health, physical fitness, sound therapy. And I have just fallen in love with it, Nigel. That's basically, if I could learn how to make some money on this, this is what I would do full time, is just interview people from all over the world and just do shows.
So Al, how can people contact you?
Gosh, they can find me all over social media under Al Richards or Mr. Al Richards. I have a couple different Facebook pages. They can also email me at MrAlRichards@gmail.com. You know, if anyone has any questions, I'd love to talk to them. You know, even if they just need an ear, right? I mean, we can always exchange some words through emails or through Messenger on Facebook. And if we have to schedule a call or a Zoom call, we can definitely do that. Because you mentioned earlier before we came on air, Nigel, that you love meeting people and you love talking to people. And I'm the exact same way. I'm a social butterfly. I just love meeting new people and learning about them and their history. And yeah, if I can just even be an ear to let someone sit and let all their frustrations out, I'm here.
Al in Utah, USA, thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nigel. I appreciate the opportunity.
Please join me for interesting conversations with interesting people, featuring interviews with award-winning authors, relationship and life coaches, therapists, and a wide variety of people with intriguing stories to share. Interesting conversations with interesting people.
Available on all major podcast platforms now.